We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
All right, welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. This is the PGP. And we always peel back the curtain on the DA show and let you know what's going on behind the scenes. You can always subscribe by going to iTunes and searching Permission Granted. Also, you can get us on the website daoncbs.com, which has all of your audio every single day, so I highly encourage you to go there and check it out. Mraz joins me now, and Mraz, we haven't been able to really dissect the five-year anniversary show because
correct.
I was out on Friday, had a wedding out of town, then Monday, Tuesday, I was in for Jim Rome. We just finished up Wednesday's show, and we were just jam-packed, so we didn't really have a chance to go back down and dissect. But I thought it was a success. I genuinely had such a good time those 3 hours reminiscing and playing all that old stuff. I listened back to a bulk of it, and I thought it sounded really good, too. I thought Thursday's show was just, it was just epic.
Ironically, I have no problem admitting this. It was my favorite show we've done. And I'm a hypocrite because I used to watch like old I used to hate when the Seinfeld played the Clips episodes.
Clip shows?
Yeah, I'd be like, give me a new episode here. And ironically, I felt like we ran one of those and I loved it. It was my favorite show to work on. I felt like I showed up for 3 hours and just joked around and laughed with friends. That's what I felt like. And that included the listeners. I thought the thing was awesome. So much so that I went back and rewatched it on my smart TV on watchda.com. Like I caught it on the loop and stayed with it that night on TV.
How was the experience watching the show, having just worked the show?
Better, because I got to see everybody's reactions more than just being focused on it. Now, as much as I had fun with the show, there was a lot of inner workings, you know, playing back the sound, making sure Pete knew what sound was coming and lining up. And Bilotti, I think, did an awesome job, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Pete did a great job. But having done that, as much as I had fun, there was a lot of focus for once in my life that I needed to put into the show. So in taking the focus away and just being able to actually enjoy it, I thought it was so much better. And getting to see everybody's face reactions as we laughed around, it was great.
If you want to watch any of the video clips, a bunch of them are available on YouTube, and they're still available at watchda.com. Kat put up like 6 different video clips from the show, so you should definitely go there and check it out. They'll be up there, and you can watch them. It does give you a different experience because you're not only hearing the old clips, you're watching us in real time react to the old clips. So that's even better than just listening to them.
Yeah, and some of the things I think we laugh at harder now looking back on them, we would have laughed at the time that they happened. Because a lot of the things were so wacky and bizarre that there was like some shock value in it. Knowing that there was no shock value for us and just being able to laugh and enjoy the ridiculousness, I think totally added to it.
It did, and you know, everybody that I talked to just said they really loved it. They really, really enjoyed it. I did, too. I thought what was really funny that stood out as I came home and I listened to the first hour of the show again. And, you know, the Bourbon Belle comes home and says, so how did it go? I go, I think it was really good. And she goes, why? I go, you know, the thing that stuck out was we did 3 hours of a best of over 5 years, and none of it was about sports.
Yes.
Every
right.
really funny thing that happened. I mean, you crying over Derek Jeter was ostensibly about sports, but none of the best of clips were like takes or sports interviews or breaking news. It just was all really funny non-sports stuff, which I think says a lot about the show of how unique it is and how memorable all that stuff is.
Yeah, for sure. It's the wacky is what we remember the most. God, that was so great just thinking about all of that. Now that I'm like just processing all of what happened.
Go back and watch or listen to all of the, none of our best of stuff had to do with athletes.
Yeah.
Or coaches.
And when we do the round.
Or
the,
games.
And I thought we did the perfect way to end the show, and this only further speaks to it. When we do the round table there, and by the way, we had known what clips we were going to play, but we didn't know where we were mapping everything out or what we were doing. We decided 20 minutes before we went on the air, which is typical DA show fashion, that last segment to be able to do the, all right, what is everybody's favorite moment, having listened to the whole show, I thought it was perfect. But then you think about the four moments we trotted up there. Yeah, again, our favorite moments at a sports show, nothing about sports. Art Garfunkel on a Football Friday. Yeah. Will in Baltimore at the fake robbery. And I thought that was also interesting that we were able to debate and give reasons why those were the most memorable moments from the show.
Yeah. I think we hit everything, which is kind of hard to believe because it was only 3 hours. I think the one thing, if we did, see, this is an interesting thing. If you do the 10-year anniversary special, what from the 5-year will make it, right? That's when you know you really got good stuff.
Wow. And well, we left out a lot of good stuff.
I know. And so I'm wondering, so I'm trying to think, did we leave out anything out of the 5-year that will eventually make the 10-year? And the one thing that I think could is Death by Salsa. Because, I mean, I am really melting down and kicking my feet. And your play-by-play of that is awesome. When you're like, DA has had back problems before if you follow the show. Your play-by-play of that is really, really good. So I kind of wonder if in the 10-year, Death by Salsa will make it.
Probably.
And maybe also we never played play-by-play of Young Guns versus Small Blocks.
You're right, and that revolutionized the sport of flag football. The NFL Network is now airing games.
It wasn't actually on the show, but it could have been audio. I mean, we did play highlight clips on the show.
Well, and we revisited Mr. Six,
yeah.
So I felt like that was the time. But I would agree with you. My excuse, if you will, for you eating the Death by Salsa, I think it does make the 10-year. And I told you, the problem is, yeah, it happened before we aired the show, but it also did occur in the 6th year of the DA show. So that's your cop-out. It happened after Jan 1.
So it happened after 5 years because it's now 5.5 years.
Yes. So that, if you want to give a technicality of why that did not exist, the only thing that I believe happened...
Except Torg.
Torg. But Torg is so, so epic that I named it the best moment in show history.
So out of the 5-year, what do I think will make the 10-year? I think Torg will.
Has to. If Torg doesn't, we're about to have some wild 5 years.
Torg will in Baltimore faking a 7-Eleven robbery, and you crying over Jeter. I think those will just have to be in the 10-year.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. That's the Mount Rushmore. Art Garfunkel.
You think Art Garfunkel definitely does?
I think because if you're thinking about any interview we ever do, for interview, like with a person of significance in society... Nothing will get weirder than Art Garfunkel.
That's true. No one's going to hang up on me and curse.
Right. So Art Garfunkel getting angry and asking you to ask about something, getting mad about it is weird enough. But the simple basic fact that we had Art Garfunkel on to begin with should not be overlooked. And I think Art Garfunkel will make it as well.
It's amazing listening back to Art Garfunkel because I was just, you know, like you said, when we're working the show, you can't just be a passive observer and just
right.
You listen. You have to actually be... focus on what's coming up next and what we're going to talk about and how the audio fires and everything. When I was just listening back to the 5-year and I listened back as we did the Art Garfunkel, I said, I don't know if I've ever noticed how quickly it's a hairpin turn from him. He says, literally, well, it would be coy of me not to talk about Simon and Garfunkel because I spent half my life wanting you to care about Simon and Garfunkel, and now I can't tell you not to care about it. So I said, well, if you feel that way, a couple of years ago you gave an interview and called Paul Simon. You said, I've created a monster. And then he immediately goes, oh, well, I don't want to talk about that bleep.
Yeah.
That's a horse bleep question. I mean, it was like within seconds, I will talk about whatever you want. I know you have to talk. We have to talk about Paul Simon. Oh, well, I'm not talking about that. And then he just starts cursing. Like, that is a hairpin turn.
It was truly unbelievable, and you forget, because we only remember that part, that interview started with him on a perfectly good line, not being able to hear us.
Yeah.
And I could tell you a little insider behind that. He said, if we could just change this so I could hear you. I picked up the phone, put it on hold, and put him back up and changed absolutely nothing, and then he heard you perfectly clear.
He just has a hearing problem.
He just has a hearing problem. But from my standpoint, I could tell you our reconnection changed nothing. I didn't do anything just to prove that he could, in fact, hear us.
Now, Damon, you sound very small from a very far space away.
Oh, God, what a loser. Garfunkel's got to make it. I love how we're already planning a 10-year, by the way.
I hope that, yeah, who knows if we even are allowed to get to a 10-year. I hope that the no-call list stays intact. I hope that Bobby V, Richard Justice, and Joey Chestnut never come on the show again. Jack A, I'm a soft no on. Art, I would have on any day of the week.
You know what I thought
of? But the first three, they'll over my dead body.
I haven't even talked to you about this. You know what I thought of over the weekend, and I'm only remembering now? I know this is kind of PTI-ish, but it would be cool if we had like a Yankee Monument Park of retired numbers where like above our watch DA screen, we just had the faces of the no-call list people. No names, no anything. Literally just a face of Bobby V, a face of Jack A. So they're always like remembered like you're at a stadium with the retired numbers.
Great idea.
And if any new listener along the way ever... Why do you have Bobby V, Jack A, and Joey Chestnut's face behind you? That's the reminder. Well, that is, you know, that is our Monument Park.
That's our... So when you say it's PTI, it's just because they have the faces
like
on the
faces.
Sticks.
But it would be like our retired numbers in a stadium.
I really like that
just
idea.
Just the faces. And we have that Watch DA or the DA show's turning logo right above the TV. Just so you could get it on the Watch DA. And anytime we have a picture of a guest in studio behind the guest, will always be those faces looking out. And that's our collection of retired numbers.
I'm also very proud that it spans all demographics. It is young people. I mean, Joey Chestnut's probably in his 30s.
Yeah. Stomach of a 70-year-old now.
It is old people, Richard Justice. It is managers, Bobby Valentine. It is women, Jack Kay. It's people of color. It's white. It's young. It's old. It's men. It's female. It's everybody. We do not discriminate. If you screw us, you're off the list.
I mean... Maybe that is a bit we plan for after football season next February, and we need like an episode every hour during the show. We retire the heads, and it's like our number. It's our Monument Park day, and then that goes forward into the next 5 years of the DA show.
I love that idea,
and you know it's very rare, so it's not like the Yankees where you're retiring everybody. Because how often does this happen? And when somebody happens, we add a face to the list, and it's our own version of Monument Park.
I love that idea. Oh, it's such a good idea. Well, five-year anniversary was awesome. That special was so cool. Props to you. You worked hard in organizing all of this audio. Even before you went to Hawaii, you left it in our hands so that we were able to, while you were gone, work on some stuff, which we did. Pete was awesome with the organization of all of the audio. Cap was awesome in capturing all of our reactions on the simulcast. So it was really cool. The listeners were great because they gave us tons of momentum through the whole thing and memories and everything. So it was just, it was great. If you want to listen to the five-year anniversary special, go to iTunes. You can catch it there. And then also, in its entirety, also on the website daoncbs.com. And like we said, clips are everywhere. So that's side A. Side B is Mraz and Pete the Body Bilotti right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome into Side B of the PGP. Been a while since I've been with my buddy, and this is Mraz, the host of Side B and the executive producer of the DA show. Pete the Body Bilotti is back on Side B.
That's me.
That is you, Pete. And it's been a while because I was away in Hawaii. You had to handle a lot of the duties with Connor Green. And then you were on side A of the PGP or the whole PGP in general, bashing me. And then last week we had Bogus, and now we're back together. So first and foremost, hello.
Hello. What was the last? I don't even remember half the last few ones.
Well, 2 weeks ago you did it with just DA when I was out. And I still haven't had a chance to catch up with you.
Right.
Because of when I was away, and this is something I like doing whenever I'm on vacation, checking up on the PGP with, you know, life without me behind the scenes. So let's start there. I know we're 2 weeks removed. We've kind of had some goofy weeks. We had our anniversary show last week. We had DA doing Rome, where I was producing for him there. How did the week without me go behind the scenes when I was in Hawaii?
Connor's very capable. Connor is a good employee. He's an up-and-comer. I think it went very well. I was very we let Connor kind of man the fort, and he did a very exceptional job.
Well, I'm a Connor fan. I know he would do a good job, but what I'm asking, getting at here, is in typical selfish fashion, was I missed it all?
No, you can pack your bags and get them out.
Are you serious? Not 1 ounce of you missed me that week.
No.
You are you're unbelievable. Not 1 ounce of you missed me?
We did a little bit.
You're really playing hard to get with me right now.
A little bit.
All right. Well, you know what? If Fine. You guys can have it without me. Now, on that note, you and Connor continue to work with each other Monday and Tuesday of this week in the DA Show time slot with Andy Gresh as the host. And you know I love Gresh, as I was given an opportunity to produce the Jim Rome Show with DA hosting. Now, there's a couple layers of this. Number one, we made jokes about this on the air on show Wednesday. My first opportunity as a producer in this business to produce the, you know, the Jim Rome Show. Now, granted, I wasn't producing for Jim. It was DA in for Jim. But still, that's prestigious real estate and radio. And that's a show, I would say, unlike any others on CBS Sports Radio, that it really does rely on guests. And I didn't get DA one guest has been discussed.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of this conversation. Yes, Connor did a great job, and you weren't missed.
So Sunday comes around. I had my big block party Saturday.
That's right. How'd that go? I could not make it. I was
block party was great. Yes. As always a good time. We mentioned my brother-in-law finding out he got married the day before. So it was a lot of behind the scenes. We need a PGP, a show behind the show about the block party in general, because a lot happened there. But the next day, you know, there's cleanup to be had, and I kind of wanted to go to the beach because I live near the ocean and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? No, I need to make sure I lock down some guests. I woke up to some texts from DA, hey, you're producing for me and for Rome on Monday. What are we going to do? I spent the whole day, you know, basically sitting down, watching baseball, texting, emailing, calling as many guests as I possibly could come up with, exchanging ideas for DA. And we got to about 8 p.m. Sunday night, almost 10 hours spent on it, and I had Unguts. Nothing. Zero.
I hate that
Zippo.
Feeling. That's a bad feeling.
Luckily, the next morning, I woke up Monday morning and DA texted his friend, Dante Hall, who was able to come on, so he had a guest. But I struck out. I went over. And you'll know this as a producer, Pete. I could get ragged on it because it's all about production. It's what, you know, it's what shows up in the box score. What showed up in the box mm-hmm. scores, I had nothing. And it wasn't as if I could produce wacky bits because this was a Jim Rome show, so I had nothing. If I fail on a guest with DA, at least I can have, hey, why don't we try something like this. I mean, I'm giving DA topics, but they're the same topics he could read. I basically was a complete failure on Monday.
Well, guest booking is a matter of luck. For people in this,
yeah.
From people that...
But you still have to create your own luck.
You have to create your own luck, but you also have to get ahead of it, too. You have to, you know, have foresight in your mind. Now, in the summer, it's very hard because schedules are very different.
Right.
DA is doing different things. You're doing different things. I'm doing different things. So it gets hard to have that foresight. So I actually I'm emphatic of you. I think that's the word, right?
You're asking me to tell you a word? I have no idea.
I feel bad for you. Easier way to put it. I feel bad for you in that spot. That's a tough spot, you know, and to go in there with, that's just a terrible feeling. Going into the Jim Rome show with a big goose egg. It's like, it just, you might as well just get your first kid.
And now, luckily, Tuesday, I was able to produce Aeneas Williams and Max Starks, which was awesome. The problem is, we're doing this roundabout on Monday. DA again on Monday is in for Jim Rome, and I've been told I'm producing him again. And we got a Vern Lundquist book, true story.
Okay,
everybody loves Vern. DA goes, you know what, this would be the perfect spot for Jim Rome. So I said, great. I got the book sent. I bet you I can get this done. TV, Jim Rome, and this will save me all weekend. I emailed the publicist about Vern. Well, the book comes out in October, so we're going to bring him around in October. Mm. Great. Happy to have Vern Lundquist in October. What does this mean for Monday?
Monday.
We're taping this on Wednesday. I'm in panic mode. I feel like a starting pitcher who's had a couple bad starts in a row
right. And
is scared to pitch again on the mound.
He has the yips.
Full disclosure, I don't know what's going to happen Monday. I'm a nervous wreck. This is a bad scene all around.
I think you're into football mode now. I think now you can go down that road.
You know, and not to poo-poo the DA show, because we have a great show, obviously. It's just different than the Jim Rome show in that, like, I know if all else fails guest-wise with DA, like, there are certain guests we can go to and have on. It may not necessarily be the bigger names, but we're comfortable because we're the little engine that could, having on the little engine that could. Jim Rome is a machine that, like, you want the best of the best. So if I can't bring the best of the best, it's a bad look for me.
Yeah.
It's a bad look for me. So,
it's like pitching in the World Series. You want to pitch seven strong.
Right.
Or go a complete game if you can and get the W. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're Matt Harvey. You walk off the mound and the Mets lose the World Series like they did in 2015.
So, to add to this and my bad producing, is we're really going inside-y radio
we
here
are,
and discussing my
in
actual
depth.
Job in depth. My follow-up to my goose egg with guests was I come in before the Jim Rome show's on the air, the DA show's on the air, and you guys are with Andy Gresh.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Gresh. With the MLB trade deadline there,
oh, come on.
I ran a stunt with Evan Roberts at WFAN where I went back and I retweeted something from May where Jacob deGrom of the Mets was placed on the disabled list, and I put, bad break for the Mets. Now, essentially, the tweet was from May, and I was, we were doing an experiment. How many people fall for fake tweets on trade deadline day? Was the bit that Evan Roberts was running.
Right.
So he used me to do it because he knows I don't mind stirring the pot or taking the bad reaction from it. And I don't. I like having fun with people on Twitter. The problem is, when I did this, while you guys are on the DA show with Andy Gresh, Gresh reads the tweet and breaks the news, seeing it pop up for me in the... in his timeline.
I'm thinking it's breaking news. I'm thinking, oh, Gresh is breaking... I got to go check Twitter. And then once we tried to check the information, you came in and said he actually read that on the air?
Like, right, because Andrew Bogus was in the newsroom and goes, Mraz, Gresh just read your DeGrom tweet and is reporting now to CBS Sports Radio, 180 affiliates, SiriusXM 206, that Jacob DeGrom's on the DL because I was pulling a newsroom stunt with people in New York, and there's Gresh reporting it nationally. So not only did I go an offer with Jim Rome, I followed up by screwing the regular show I work on, the DA show with Gresh hosting, by him falling for one of my fake tweets.
See, that's where you have to stay away from Evan, because Evan does these goofy things, and you got and it killed Andy that day. It killed Andy on the show. He was totally famished. He was totally off guard.
Famished? What is that?
Upset.
Okay.
He's totally upset. And, it's uncalled for. I think it's totally uncalled for. It's very unprofessional. I think you have to get him out.
So you think I was being unprofessional there?
I do.
I mean, I was clearly, I was clearly joking.
At least give your colleagues the note.
Well, it was very New York-based, the tweet, so I didn't think you guys would run with it.
Yeah, but you are a part of CBS Sports Radio and WFAN.
Right.
So,
My Twitter presence is more CBS Sports Radio than it is WFAN, even though I comment on New York sports as far as that.
So you should tell Gresh or tell us beforehand, hey, I'm running with this thing. Let's see what happens. And then we would tell Gresh, like, hey, this is what Sean's doing, because Gresh takes much interest in what you do.
Right. So if you were listening to the DA show hosted by Andy Gresh Tuesday, know that was my bad.
It was your bad.
My bad. That was not supposed to derail the DA show. It was supposed to derail WFAN and New York listeners. And poor Connor Green, when I told him he read a fake tweet, because Connor Green was producing, young kid, he was flustered.
This is a tanker truck rolling off the road and exploding. That's what that was.
So basically what I'm telling everybody is I'm a crap producer. And I've uttered that before. And I had a bad early start to the week. Thankfully, DA has bought chips for us to eat on Thursday.
A couple of those are disgusting.
They are, but at least it gives me, I could go back to doing what I do. The show pony comes out,
and
eats a little.
Binge eating.
Right. Play to my strengths, if you will.
That's right. Run the ball.
Let's get back to a homestand, if you will.
You know what?
We have a homestand here.
All you need is six and a win.
Right.
Three runs and a win.
And that's what we're going to look to do this week. All right. That's going to wrap it up for the PGP this week. You can follow Pete on Twitter.
Pete the Body.
And you can follow me on Twitter, @MrazCBS. Have a great weekend, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.